Hey, this is a podcast. No, wait, it's a comedy podcast. Well, we tried to make it a comedy podcast. And it's not meant to offend anyone. So don't get offended, okay? And wait, there's something else. Oh, yeah. Listener discretion is advised.
Audiomatic presents Our Last Week.
Hi, Kunal.
Hi, Paul.
Kunal, you were saying recently that you're having some trouble with Instagram.
Yeah. You know, people have been telling me that I should post a lot more.
Yeah.
And I need to feed the beast.
Okay.
And recently, we've been doing these clips of our podcast.
Yes.
You know, we've been doing these little excerpts from our live show, from our studio stuff. You know, which are just little clips of the show. Then I've got this play that I'm doing that's coming up, an English play I'm doing coming up in February. So I've been putting a bit of those posters, promotional stuff. And what I've found is that with all of this, I'm feeding the beast, right? Like I'm giving it stuff
constantly.
Right?
Yeah.
Constantly. Well, not constantly, but I'd say once every 2-3 days, whatever, which is much better than I used to. But what I found is that I've started losing followers.
So the
number of people have started engaging with this stuff. Like, say someone watches a little clip of us talking.
Yeah.
And then they have proceeded to unfollow me.
I guess we are so not good that hundreds of people who know you from acting are like, what is this? You know, like...
Yeah.
Sometimes there are actors like Shah Rukh Khan that people want to know more. And maybe you're the sort of actor where people just want to know less. You know, like, they are like, sure, do the acting, but don't tell us this other side of you. Who is this fat, bald man that you talk to? You know, like, maybe it's best to not tell the world about the podcast.
And that's why I find that some amount of hiding stuff in your life is actually better for your Instagram account.
Much better. Much better. And I think that when we haven't sought out listeners, our listeners have grown.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that, you know, like from the few hundred people who listen to us, or maybe a few thousand who listen to us, we might have gained a few, you know, 10, 15, 20 people might have been added on because of these Instagram posts. But hundreds have left.
Millions. You know, they're...
Yeah,
he's failed us. You have failed them, actually, in some way by doing
this
podcast. I
failed them. I failed my audience, basically. I'm... I'm actually doing a disservice to what I actually represent.
This podcast,
you know, because
is
I represent one thing.
Yeah. You're supposed to be a comedy actor. And then they probably don't find this funny. They don't find any of this humorous. And this is like a tedious niche English podcast. You know, so you have betrayed them actually in some ways.
Yeah.
You know, because they're looking at other people and saying, you know, Kunal Khemu is not doing this. You know?
Yeah. Why are you getting into all
Ayushman this? Khurana is not doing this. So why have you sort of ruined us and our faith in you?
Yeah.
You know?
Are you spoiled it. Yeah, you spoiled it.
Now I think that it's become so many years of you doing this podcast, and now that more and more people are finding out and leaving you, there
leaving
are
me,
two
yeah.
ways to do this, right? One is for you to stop doing the podcast and to feed the beast by making the ultimate sacrifice, which is I can't
and focus on the real career.
Focus,
you know,
on the
rather
real,
than do all the
dosto, you know, ye mere abs hai, or whatever it is you want to do, you know, aaj,
whatever,
you know,
yeah,
or you double down, right? And you are like, yeah, I have an English side and I'm not going to suppress it. You know, like, I think there's something that you can learn here from the transsexual movement, you know, which is, I think your English language side, you know, it may not be an economically, shall we say, very lucrative side of you. But as some people know, not many, that you have an English theatre side, an English podcast side, an English comedy side, that a niche audience follows. And it's sort of like being in denial about being trans. Like, how long will you hide it? You know, like at some point, you have to come out, and those Hindi audiences have to say, do we accept him or not accept him? You know what I mean? Like,
so rather than a sexuality or a preference or a identity, it's more about being an English babu.
English. Now you have an English side.
Wo to English hai is not something that people like immediately relate to me. You're saying that I need to come out and just say who I am.
You know, like the great comedian Eddie Izzard. A big debate started, na, that he's trans. And he came out, he struggled with it for many years. He's like, do I come out and tell my audience I'm trans, you know? And he came out and he became a woman. He said, I'm trans now, etc. People said, fine, we always knew, etc. But he embraced it. And along the way, he probably lost some huge comedy fans, you know, who didn't want him to be trans. They just wanted him to be like a historical political comedian, you know? So now your English side is like almost your trans side, you know, like... You have to tell your Hindi audiences, ye bhi main hu. You know, main ek English comedian hu, main podcaster hu, main English mein plays bhi karta hu. Now what do you have to
say? Main karta hu, toh main karta hu bhi, main kya karu?
You have to do a video. Like, you know, like that Akshay Kumar, haan main alcoholic hu.
Haan, main alcoholic hu. It's that kind of thing. Haan, main English theater karta hu.
Correct. हाँ मैं English podcaster भी हूँ. हाँ मेरे 3,000 listeners हैं. इसमें कोई shame नहीं है. You know, it has to be like mom, dad, I'm gay. Yeah. It's that conversation.
Yeah.
I think you have to come out to your audience, and then millions will leave you. Right? But that's their bigotry.
Millions will leave me.
That's their bigotry. I mean, you could give it all up and then just be, you know, just go full Hindi. But then at some point, you know, you'll hear a podcast in English.
Who am I? I'll start asking
you'll start
questions.
Watch a BBC film, or you'll walk past the theater and something will happen inside you, you know, like you can't control. You know, then it'll be just you. That's the thing. Like, what kind of life do you really want?
Do you
want
to live?
You know, it's...
Can't live a lie. Pal, I'm sorry, I'm very hungry and I'm just diving into this little packet. I know, I'm sorry, that you might hear some rustling and crunching.
There was one time...
It's a mix called Khatta Meetha.
One time my listeners heard you drinking as well, if you remember, a long time ago. You poured yourself a small whiskey.
This is a chevda.
It's very good.
Are you a chevda person?
I've had it when I'm hungry. Right now, I had a Radha Ballabhi, which is a Bengali puri aloo, is basically what it is. But
as an evening snack.
It's an evening snack. Like any Bengali, any snack in Calcutta in the evening will kill you. Like there is no dietitian that will tell you will live after this. Because Radha Ballabhi is essentially aloo in oil with some puri that when you touch it, like if you touch the puri and you put it on paper, you know, the paper melts. You can see the other side of the paper. It's that much oil. So that's my snack. But I know that Bombay does a lot of these chevda type snacks.
Yeah. I think crunchy food is a big thing. There are certain cities who are fully devoted to it. Like I know Indore is very big on
crunch.
Chevda.
Yeah.
On crunch. Crunch is an essential part of meals.
I think Eastern India is a lot of mushy meat. You know, like the evening snack is a roll.
Yeah,
paratha,
I guess even in Calcutta,
mutton.
You have that chevda, right? What is the Calcutta?
Chanachur.
Yes. And you have that, Crunch is an
imperative. Crunch. And then as a people, as we Indians wonder why heart attacks kill us, because we're having carbs fried in carbs. And sometimes when the chanachur is inside bread, it's in more carbs. It's three layers of carbs. And then we wonder, but we're vegetarians. Why are we dying?
What did I do wrong? You had a samosa pav pakoda, which was the aloo wrapped in a samosa fillet, on top of which there was a pav, which was then dipped in besan and then fried.
Right. Maybe that's the problem. It's the inception of carbs. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
Cook, question.
Yes.
I recently went to a wedding reception, and I noticed something. I noticed that at a wedding reception, the main thing the guests want to do is give the present and leave. And all they want when they arrive, because they don't really know the bride and groom. So all they want when they arrive is a stage on which the bride and groom are standing, and they want access to that stage. They just want to go up the steps, give it to bride and groom, and leave. Now, I've been around a lot of weddings this wedding season, and I wanted to know from you, it seems like what people do at most weddings is stand in a long queue. Is that correct?
No, it's true. It's true. But I do feel that people want to feel like they are putting up with some obstacle. Because they're not going to leave. They're going to eat and leave.
Yeah.
And they've gotten a really crappy gift, you know, like a clock or a, like some silver, bad cutlery.
Silver bowl.
Yeah. Bowl or something even worse, you know, like it'll be some recycled gift and they're like, you know, whatever, it'll look nice in great wrapping paper, we'll give it and we'll go. But they want the obstacle. The obstacle is the line.
Yeah.
So they want that penance.
They've
earned it. So if there's no line, that is also disturbing. It's like, array, but we didn't suffer.
Yeah.
You know, they want to suffer a little bit because then they feel that, see, you made me suffer. Now I can eat freely. If you just go to a wedding and there's no stage, there's no line, and the couple are just meeting people and just behaving, you know, normally, just mingling, then you just feel like, I didn't do anything to earn this meal.
Correct.
You know?
And what do you feel about the evidence they need to collect of their presence? You know, like, they always want that photo with the bride and groom. You know, like, they give the present and they want that evidence that we were there. You know, so it doesn't... I think everyone at a wedding gets insulted if they are a freeloader. So they want evidence that they are not only invited, but that bride and groom spend a little extra time talking to them because they're close. And after that, then they're guilt-free. They can get off stage.
You know, people... Like, I've done this.
Yeah.
Where, like, I feel... It's very... Like, you know, when you feel the line is too long.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, go and check on the line, just see what the line is like.
Yeah.
And then someone will see the line and say, oh, it's damn long. Saying, so should we stand or should we eat first? You know, that generally becomes a question. And you feel a lot of guilt because if you eat first and you haven't gone in the line, then you have then you're standing there with your gift and your plate, you know, and then a lot of other people who have been standing in the line.
Yeah, they've won.
They look at you.
They've won.
And they say, you met them or what? And then you're like, no, but you're eating. So it's always like, you haven't met them and you're eating. I'm like, yeah, I'm eating.
Yeah.
It's like, but you didn't meet them. I said, I'll meet them. They're here, right? Like, I'll go.
Cardinal sin.
But you're eating first. It's a big sin. It's a big sin because you have skipped there's a full line to eat also.
Yeah.
And the general rule is that, see, you meet them, then you eat.
Yeah.
You can't eat and then meet them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel that it should be flexible. It's open. It's an open society. You know, like it's a, like...
If the line
You should be free.
You should be free in a society. And if the line is very long, how are you to blame? You know?
Yeah.
Like, for example, if half the guests at the wedding I was at said we went back without giving the gift because you have created a logistical glitch by having a ceremony till 9:30, you can't blame them. You can't blame them. But there were loads of people that probably went back into their cars and broke down in tears. Because they couldn't give the gift.
They couldn't give the gift, yeah.
And the thing is, the last search that they do if they can't find the bride and groom and parents is a close relative or friend. And if they don't know anyone at the wedding, then that becomes really difficult because then they're giving gifts to each other. Strangers exchanging gifts, hoping somebody is close to the family.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've seen people do that also. Like, you know, they say, listen, I can't go up on stage and all. It's too hectic. They find another spot.
Yeah.
Like, there should be a gift drop box.
There should be.
You know, like, just drop your gift in here. You want to meet them, you meet them. You don't want to meet them, don't meet them. Eat and leave.
Yeah.
But there should be a gift drop area. You know, like, 100%. It doesn't have to be meeting them also.
There's 100% like, needs a drop area. 100%.
Yeah, it's just drop your gift here, okay, and don't meet the couple. So the couple can do with two less people meeting them
easily that night, anytime, right? So,
like, just drop it, eat, and leave.
Yeah,
in fact, I would say that the couple need not attend also. have a frame of the couple because there's no great conversation over
there.
They could very well be cutouts on the stage,
you're just shaking hands. Yeah.
photos with the couple here, which is just cutouts, and you can pose with them.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's just like two smiley people, and then just like, it's like a Disneyland sort of ride, you know, like, it's like a wax museum. So you just take your photos with the couple, drop your gift here,
yeah,
eat here, and leave. You don't really want to meet the couple.
And how, if the couple don't have to make small talk, like, arre, yeah, mom's said so much about you. Like, if all that shit is avoided, then just think about how much quicker the line would move also.
Really? And the couple could do something else. They yeah. could, you know, either they can go to another wedding.
Yeah.
They could have left for their honeymoon.
Yeah.
They're working late today.
Doesn't matter.
It could be anything. Doesn't
fine,
matter.
Auntie. You I'll have give the present. Cutout. It's fine. Nothing. I know where the stage is. It's fine. You know,
you dropped your gift.
At your wedding, do you remember getting any ghastly sorts of presents?
Yeah, I have. We did get a lot of rubbish also.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do remember like at least 8 clocks.
Yeah.
I do remember a lot of clocks. People gave a lot of clocks.
We got a lot of birds and various animals made from various ornamental sort of, you know, we got a lot of Ganeshas. But a lot of things that if you hung on the wall, you'd want to shoot yourself because they're quite challenging to your values.
Yeah, no, I think what I appreciated the most was cash and gold.
Cash is very good. Cash is very good. But the guys
I really liked cash.
But the guys that give you cash, you know, they know they've won the night. Because their envelope is the smallest, right? And they come in also on stage with that confidence like, I've got a game that you don't have. You know, and they do a fat little envelope and they just slide it. Sometimes they put it in the groom's jacket also, you know, like.
Yeah. I remember one guest who had come.
Yeah.
He hadn't come from my side.
Okay.
He had come from my wife's side.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
Wife's invite, that side of the family. And he wanted to give cash,
yeah.
Okay, but he didn't want to make it obvious. I don't know why. I would have accepted it. Yeah. It was in a, like it's whatever. Fine. It was in a folded envelope.
It's cash.
I would have taken it. You know, like thank you. But he wanted to make it subtle and not seen.
Mm.
So you know how some people hide the cash in in the palm of their hand, and they shake hands with you with the cash in it.
Yeah.
You know, like he was tipping me.
Yeah.
But he was giving me a gift.
Yeah. A marriage tip.
So he reached out his hand and gave it to me with the envelope in it. And I understood and I started pulling the envelope, right?
Yeah.
But he realized that now he wanted to make sure that my wife knew that I had given, he had given money.
It can't just.
So he didn't want to hand it over to me anymore.
Yeah.
So he started pulling it back from my hand. So while I was trying to make a smooth transfer, he started shaking his head from side to side and pulling it back. So I got a little confused and I let it go. I let the envelope go and then he did the same transaction with my wife where he then hid it because he was then happy that she knew that he had given
both
the cash.
Sides, otherwise, both sides had to know. Yeah. One,
both had to know.
At my wedding, one guy came with the envelope and I was wearing one of those, you know, one of those jackets that you wear on top of kurtas. And he came and tried to slide it into my back pocket. But I didn't have a back pocket. So then it fell.
Yeah.
And then he went down on his knees trying to look for the...
to pick it up.
But
where has it gone?
He lost his place in the line. You know?
And his family had left by that
his
time.
Family
so
had
then he had to pose with another family.
Walk down. So it's like you lose your line in the bank queue. So then he's...
Yeah.
So then he picked it up, gave me an envelope. But the next guy also had an envelope. So then I took two envelopes, right? And the gracious thing to do would have been to just give it, put it on the chair behind you. And the person who's handling the presents, take it away. That's usually how it works. But I took both. I didn't know what to do. I put both in my pocket. And then the guy said to me, you're not supposed to put it in your pocket. I thought to myself, then why are you giving me the cash, you bastard? Where else am I going to put it? He was trying to say, you know, it can't be that obvious that you take the money and put it in the pocket.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't have a back pocket. And the guy collecting the presents is gone. So I know it looks greedy and cheap, but I have no other place to put it.
No, I like it when people try to be slick with money.
Yeah.
You know, like don't say no, huh? Don't say no.
Yeah.
I am giving this to you. I'm going to slide it into your pocket. You won't even know that I've slid it in.
Yeah.
You know? And then they're just going to do a tap like, I've done the transfer. You know, like, it's happened. It's on your person. You don't even know. But they mess up and they, you know, like what happened in York is they drop it in the process. Then
everybody
people searching
knows
for it. Everyone's on their knees looking under the throne. Where has it gone? Then someone's gone behind the backdrop to say, "Arey, niche gir gaya." Then they're pulling out the envelope.
Sometimes
from there.
The cash, so, imagine if it spills. It just spills all over the stage.
Yeah.
Or it's always like, Anubhav, from the Gupta family, from Nirmala aunty, me, Pratyush. Yeah. And then he'll put the thing and then he'll just keep shaking the hand, etc. And then obviously, like, you'll have to do something, right? At what point you dislodge the hand. And then what I did, I remember, was I took the envelope and put it inside. Right? And then he didn't know what to say. Right? And he touched my chest and he said, "Yes, always keep it close to your heart." Because he was hoping that I would just put the thing back. But I pocketed it in front of him. You know? So, I'm saying that these subtle games are very difficult because you don't know.
Yeah.
The recipient also doesn't know how to react.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tricky. Kunal, very last conundrum. Very quick conundrum.
Yes.
My mother has sent me into battle, right? And I don't want to be in this battle. She wants to remove a tenant from downstairs. And I like the tenant. And she wants me to fight with this tenant to tell him to move. And he seems like a perfectly sweet, reasonable guy. But she wants me to threaten him with legal things. But he's a lawyer himself. So I'm about to do this meeting in about 15 minutes. What do you recommend? Like, what I'm supposed to go there and say, if you don't move, I will impose my legal things. He's like, I'm a lawyer. What legal things will you impose? You know, so what approach do I take? Or do I get friendly with him and betray my mother and just tell him, no, stay as long as you want. Yeah, you're fine. It's no problem.
I think that, like, if he is unable to face your mother.
Yeah, he's afraid of my mother because she sends him really stern messages.
Yeah. So I think that you have to go in with that my hands are tied kind of attitude.
See, you've seen my mother. You've seen her.
You've seen my mother.
Yeah.
You know. Now, I don't want any trouble for you. So you have to go in as a protector.
Yeah.
You can't go in as the... Because you are protecting him from something else.
So my
larger
mother.
Larger forces.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are actually... You are actually his benefactor.
Correct.
You
know? Correct.
I'm here to help you.
Correct.
You know, so I'm going to face the fire for you.
Correct.
My hands are tied.
Correct.
And I just don't want anything to happen to you. So I will be there for you. I will protect you from it. But you have to help me by leaving.
Correct. Correct. And I'll tell my mother that I'm fighting with him. But actually, I'll tell him I'm shielding him.
Yeah. I'm a human shield.
I'm going to be like that East India Company. The middlemen, you know, when they came, play both sides of the field, you know, say, tell the British they're terrible, tell the Mughals that they are great, you know, but lie to both sides. I'll have to be like that.
You'll have to be like that.
I have to be the traitor Mir Zafar, that I have to be Mir Zafar. I think there's a long history of that in Bengal. It's no problem.
You can be the Sankar Seth. What are the people who were the... The funders of all the battles?
Jagat Seth.
Jagat Seth.
Yeah, but I don't even have the money. I'm the middleman. You know, like,
no.
It's not even my house. It's my mother's house. So I have to be a middleman.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's good. I think that there's... What you can do is that... I can see benefit from both ends. You know, if you play your cards right.
Yeah. I can get a free lawyer.
Yeah.
And my mom won't throw me out of the house. So,
mom will be like, he's fighting my battle. So brave. What a brave boy.
Yeah.
You know, he's finally pinned him down.
Yeah.
He's pinned down the tenant.
Yeah. And that lawyer will be, he's fighting my battle upstairs with his mother.
Yeah. He's taken it to the authorities, to the powers that be.
I'm fine. Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah. Kirk, this has been Our Last Week.
It has.
To our listeners, thank you for coming out to our live show. We'll hopefully do more of those. We're putting out some clips of those, and from Kunal's Instagram, you can see how popular they are. He's losing 100 followers a day, so clearly it was a good decision to do it. Please subscribe, patreon.com/ourlastweek. Send us your conundrums. We'll, I think, very soon do a show in person with each other, which we'll try to do as a listener special. Otherwise, we love you. Stay warm. And there's no way to stand out in the fog, so disappear in the fog, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
You were listening to Our Last Week, produced by Akanksha Kadam and Avdhoot Khanolkar, hosted by Anubhav Pal and Kunal Roy Kapoor.